Planning a trip has never been easier. Hotels.com, more than 25,000 properties in more than 400 destinations, sounds like a road tour to me. And they're more than just hotel rooms. These are fantasy suites. Sasha and I are going to be renting the European Disco Zebra Bondage Suite, and we'll be reporting back to you on how that went, because they offer great deals on condos, suites, beds, and sensational disco African bondage suites with breakfasts. Who cares about breakfast if you got one of those? Or the vacation villa, anything you can imagine. I think I'm still imagining out loud. Spring break is coming up fast, and so am I. You need to book now. Get the best rooms. Go to hotels.com. Do a side-by-side comparison of the rooms you're thinking about, or take a virtual tour. You're sure to find the perfect place to stay. Our staff of concerned professionals are standing by to service your every hotel dwelling need. Log on to hotels.com or call 800-3-HOTELS for the best rate on the room of your wildest dreams.
Raring to ski? Before you hit the slopes, hit the website of visitpa.com. It's like Snow Central, with up-to-the-minute snow reports and a mountain of ideas for Pennsylvania winter fun.
They call this place the Institute, but really it's a torture chamber. A place where they take a 3,300-pound object shaped like the front end of an SUV and hurl it directly into your bright, shiny new car. A lot of manufacturers come here. Not all of them leave with their pride intact.
But when Volkswagen sent the Jetta to the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, it came back with the best overall crash test ratings of any car in its class. The president of the Institute went on to say, "This new Jetta design shows what manufacturers can do to improve occupant protection in serious side impacts when cars are hit by SUVs and pickup trucks. We want more manufacturers to do what Volkswagen has done." The Jetta, rated best overall in its class. For details, go to IIHS.org. Better yet, see your Volkswagen dealer where you can lease a 2006 Jetta for $249 a month and zero due at signing.
39-month lease, zero required at signing, excludes taxes, license, other options, and dealer charges, supplies limited. See your dealer or call 1-800-DRIVE-VW for details.
Offer expires February 28, 2006. Visit your Tri-State Volkswagen dealer during the President's Day event.
And Gillette, 2 to 3 p.m.
$50,000 so she can go to strip clubs?
So she can get lap dances and talk about God. So funny.
We gave her $50,000. I mean, she really spent it on strippers. But it's okay. What is $50,000 divided by 20? Hold on.
What is? Yeah, 50,
that's a lot of dances.
Yeah, it's a lot of dances. But she also spends the money to go to these. I mean, to buy a booth at the porno show. She's
sure.
Several thousand dollars. And she's also spending that, which is hysterical. And I love the way women who go to Christ and who used to be involved in the sex industry always talk about how good-looking they are and fluff their hair up. And they just, I mean, it's clear that she doesn't have the A1 looks that she needed to be a top. So now she's paying for it. She's buying it back. $20 a dance. How many dances?
2,500 dancers. 2,500 dancers. It's going to take a long time to spend it all.
This stuff always turns out to be a sexual kink.
Pin Gillette's here. The new 92.3 Free FM.
Imagine living truly debt-free. No credit card debt, no car payments, no mortgage. Just your daily living expenses. And you can do this with just the money you already make. I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth program. I did it, and so have nearly a 500,000 others using my proven system.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
It works no matter how much debt you have. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. It's easy, risk-free, and works with any income level.
And once we got on the system, we were able to eliminate about 90% of our debt.
I never have to worry about who's calling me or who's knocking on my door.
Call now and I'll rush you a free tape that will show you the power of my proven system. 1-800-500-1557. 1-800-500-1557. That's 1-800-500-1557.
The Radio Chick. Afternoons, 3 to 7.
When I was in jail, you guys were the best thing to listen to.
You get to listen to us in jail?
Really?
Well, on the radio. Well, yeah,
well,
as
that's
opposed
how you
to
would
the television
hear.
Where
or
you...
being piped directly into his brain.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which they don't often do for
they don't do that.
Criminal.
Right. They only do that for... And you're solitary.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're a serial killer.
Sure.
Yeah.
You trust me, Radio Check. You got a lot of guys, and we have... You even got computers in this place. We all get on your website, everything.
Oh, fantastic. Can you email?
We're not allowed to have Playboy, but we can look at you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wow. This whole situation is sort of hypocritical of you, Radio Chick.
How do you figure?
Because I know in the past we've talked about people getting certain things in jail, and you've said, it's jail. You shouldn't get anything.
You
should. However, if you get to hear the Radio Chick show...
That's the one exception.
The Radio Chick. Afternoons 3 to 7. Only on the new 92.3 Free FM.
While we've been telling our children to just say no to drugs, we've also been telling them not to drink and drive. But here's where the word no begins to take on shades and variations. In spite of the law, many adults tolerate, even condone, adolescent drinking with the misguided rationalization, at least they are not doing drugs. Keep in mind that a young American dies every 3 hours in an alcohol-related crash. This message has been brought to you by the New York Police Chiefs Benevolent Association Drunk Stoppers and this radio station.
92.3 Free FM, WFNY FM, New York. Mornings, David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
How is it cloudy in the TV?
Oh, it's beautiful, Mike. It really is.
Bienvenue au David Lee Roth. Faites comme chez vous, nous on le fait. Roth, 6h du mat.
I got an email here. It says, Dave, if you close your eyes and listen to Animal... My God, is he the ladies' man from Saturday Night Live? Agree. That comes from Carlos. Animal, are you the guy from Saturday Night Live? Are you the love man?
I've been called worse.
And it says here, Tom from Staten Island emailed us, Hey, Dave, who's playing that instrumental blues in the background around 6 o'clock each morning? Go ahead, Brian. Show him who's playing the guitar here. Turn him up there. Go ahead. Huh? Go! That's Brian Young there. He's part of the band, man, and we track blast. Every time you hear a guitar like that playing, that's live in the studio here. He's the one who just gave Sean White his guitar lesson. Play it, babe. Young, be bad. Anytime you hear live guitar in there, that's in the studio. He's got his array set up there. Everything's set up on stun. And it's called track blasting. We use all the loops here. This is all my personal record collection. Everything that you hear in the backgrounds, everything in the loops and the commercials and all of that is my personal record collection. Some danger-loving visionary. Actually, it's Joel Hollander, the CEO or whatever he is from the CBS Infinity, said, you're in charge of content. So we brought this in here, and instead of bringing the whole band, try something new. Go for it. One more time. Bad. We have a very special guest on the phone here for next couple of minutes. Her name is Mia St. John. Mia the Knockout St. John. She's one of female boxing's most recognizable stars, and she has been since the beginning of her boxing career in 97, and she started with a knockout the first 54 seconds of her bout. She's got 42 wins, 6 losses. Oh, man. This is 17 of them are via knockout. My kind of gal. She did 4 years opening up each of Oscar De La Hoya's major fights, and this is a boxer that you've seen in Playboy magazine who did an 11-page pictorial. Look at Animal, look at Animal lighting up here. Mia, are you on the phone? Are you there?
I'm here.
Mia, thanks for joining us this early. Where are you calling us from, Mia? Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm calling from L.A., so it's a little early.
Not for a boxer. What time do you usually get up? What time do you usually get up? In fact, you have a very sexy voice. I'm surprised.
Well, thank you. I don't get up until about 6:30.
Okay, the crack of 6:30. And what is your regimen for a female boxer? This is fascinating to me. Share with us, if you would.
Well, I wake up and I go do my cardio, and then I go do my weights.
Okay, stop right there, Mia. When you say you do cardio, I'm imagining Rocky.
I do all my running.
And do you actually do road work where you go and run on the street? That's your tradition?
Yep.
How long do you run?
I try not to run any longer than 30, 40 minutes, whatever, however many rounds I'm going.
On how many rounds do you usually box, Mia?
Anywhere from 6 to 10.
And these are 3-minute rounds?
Two.
Okay, that's...
But we train for 3 minutes.
This is an extraordinary cardio capacity that you have to have. When you go running, do you have somebody on a bicycle in front of you, or do you run with a dog? Or I'm sorry, I'm a product of movies. I've watched a lot of boxing movies.
No, I run by myself.
Okay, well, let me make a suggestion. Let me make a suggestion. What's even better is you get one of your trainers to ride a bicycle up in front of you, and on the bike rack, simply bungee cord a shoulder motor, like a beatbox, and that way you can hear everything that's going on around you as the city starts to wake up. You can hear all the birds and you can hear all the noises and the dogs barking, and you put on greatest hits of something, so each song is something brand new. You'll be able to run twice as far. Tell them you heard it here. What do you eat for breakfast, Mia? What does a boxer eat for breakfast these days?
Egg whites, oatmeal.
Okay,
toast.
That's what I call my Viet Cong prison diet. I'm going to imagine there's some chicken thrown in there, too.
Chicken, no, only at night.
And how often?
And for lunch.
How often do you eat a meal? Are you one of these 5 times a day, or do you just one time in the morning, or what?
No, 5 times a day.
Really?
Yeah.
And this is high protein mostly?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Now talk to us about how you train for a fight. If you have a fight on a given day, how many weeks in advance of that, Mia? And I'm talking to Mia St. John, Mia the Knockout St. John, one of female boxing's most recognizable stars. How far in advance of a boxing match do you actually start preparing for this, Mia?
Well, I train all year round.
You're an angry person as a way of life. I like it. Do you consider yourself an angry person?
No. I mean, when I get in the ring, I consider myself a very aggressive person, but I don't think I'm an angry person.
Okay, everybody in this room is familiar with this next saying, is that I think there's a very thin line between rage and genius work, whether you're an athlete or an artist, and I think what you do is a combination of both. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, I totally agree.
Okay, then what do you rage at? What makes you rage, Mia?
Well, I don't know if... I don't like to say rage. I'm more obsessive.
I like it. What are you obsessed about?
I am whatever goal that I have, I am completely obsessed.
Okay, and
I was obsessed about meeting you many years ago when I was a teenager.
Well, what made you stop, hot stuff?
Me too.
And here we go. This is but the beginning of a great journey. Here's the first step, Mia. I love what you do for a living. I'm already 1 foot in the door here. What time should I pick you up?
Well, if you could be on the West Coast in a couple hours.
I could be just about anything you want me to be. Like right now, I feel like a very bad little boxer, and I have to be sent upstairs to your room. Mia, talk to me. How does a boxer, a woman who boxes, start in this career? When you were a young girl, say before you were a teenager, were you involved in sports? Did you have any inkling of what was coming?
My dad put me in Taekwondo when I was 6. So I've been fighting. I spent 23 years in that sport.
Ah.
Pro with Don King in boxing. So I've pretty much been doing it my whole life.
So this is a natural progression for you. And would you recommend the martial arts, Taekwondo, for example, to young girls as they're getting into their teens? Would you recommend
that? Definitely. I wouldn't recommend boxing, but I would definitely recommend Taekwondo.
Stop right there. Why would you not recommend boxing?
Well, right now, you know, boxing is, I mean, it's always been a very dangerous sport.
That's the attraction.
And I think until there's, it's just not regulated as well as other sports are. And it's just very dangerous. And I don't know if it's worth for young girls to be risking their lives at such a young age.
Are you talking about getting into the ring without headgear and that kind of a competition? Is that what you're referring to for young?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And 8-ounce gloves and no headgear. It's just right now there's too many fatalities in boxing.
Okay, well, you're talking about the equivalent of surfing a 40-foot wave. When you get to the competitive world-class pro heavy lifting level that you now occupy, that's the equivalent of somebody who's been surfing their whole life and now they're on a 40-foot wave. Let's go back to the little 2-foot bunny waves that I'm forced to surf because of my lack of athletic ability. Okay, and the equivalent of that is at the gyms around the world, there's millions of women taping up their hands and knocking the hell out of whoever that is that's represented by the heavy bag. There are entire gymnasiums that are nothing but heavy bag, heavy bag, heavy bag. It looks like you're in a meat packing place, okay? And the women are going nuts with that. Do you recommend it?
Well, yeah, as an exercise, and that's why I put out a DVD, which is a $1 million workout, and it's a fitness DVD for women like myself who want to get into shape.
But beyond shape, boxing is an aggressive, confrontational, advanced form of negotiation. Do you agree or disagree? Sorry, I didn't. I promised no metaphysics before happy hour, but I lied. I'm talking about self-defense. You think boxing is a good self-defense pursuit for just about anybody, or is there a particular focus that you would need to have?
To me, the best self-defense is obviously to run avoidance. You know.
Okay. Well, I call
I wouldn't recommend standing and fighting if you get confronted on the street. No.
You probably know better than anybody about fist to face confrontations. Huh? What kind of injuries have you experienced in the ring?
Well, as far as my brain, I'm not sure yet, and I don't think I'll know for another 20 years. But as far as like the exterior, you know, the obvious cuts and.
Yeah, but if those are well-placed, then those are really kind of romantic-looking, right? I call it, you got the scars as well as the stars, Sarge.
And, you know, and I had such great surgeons that you can't see any of my scars.
Ah, okay, here's a question that most fellas would ask a female boxer but would never dare in a public forum. What does it feel like when somebody punches you full hard in the breast?
We don't feel anything because we have the cups like the men have their cups.
Interesting.
We have two cups.
Like a double layer?
One on each side.
because Sasha doesn't need a double layer. She's right there. Are you talking about a double layer of what you wear after the fight? Because this is an interesting question that a number of guys have asked me.
It's hard plastic.
And you can't feel anything when somebody throws a full blast, right?
Nothing. Nothing can penetrate these things.
Okay, well, I'm fascinated by that. What about the guys, we wear a cup kind of a thing? And I don't mean the little time, but like the boxers wear. What do you call that? The belt that goes? It's huge.
Yeah, those are cups.
Okay, it's a cup. Do you wear one of those? Because that covers up your kidneys, does it? Or, you know, whatever, in front of you
a
in there?
A lot of girls do, but I don't.
Okay, and you have a strong enough stomach that you can take the full wallop, huh?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I spent 23 years kicking, you know, and that's where I took most of my punishment, so I can definitely take a punch to the stomach.
Wow. And how many fights have you been in, Mia? I'm talking to Mia St. John. She's Mia the Knockout St. John. How many fights have you actually been in, Mia?
I think over 50 professional fights.
Okay.
50 professional fights, yeah.
And how many of those have you actually won by knockout?
Oh, 17 by knockout. Well, 42 wins and 17 of those by knockout.
That's an impressive record. Have you seen the movie Million Dollar Baby?
I did.
And what's your take on that?
Well, you know, I'm so critical. I love movies that are more realistic. And of course, it wasn't realistic.
Oh, wait, stop right there. What do you mean it wasn't realistic? Because I thought it was, but I'm a pedestrian who's just watching a movie. Share with us.
Well, just the fact that, I mean, she won all her fights in the first round, and that's just not, you know, and how in the end when she was knocked out and all of that is very...
And she became paralyzed, right? How often does that happen and really in the sport?
Well, it has happened, but just the fact that they let this girl at the end, and I don't want to give it away, but just the...
Everybody's
let that happen in the ring is not.
Everybody's seen the movie. You're talking about the East Berlin hooker who knocks her out of order, and she falls down and she breaks her neck.
After the bell rings and she hits the stool with her head. I mean, that just is something that would not be allowed to happen.
Okay, so you're saying it's a much more contained, it's obviously fighting is a violent sport, but it's a stylized sport. And you're saying it's more contained than what we saw on...
Yeah, of course.
How many rounds do your fights usually go before somebody gets knocked out, Mia?
Well, the fights are either, like I said, from 4 to 10 rounds, and I'm more of a boxer, so I'm not so focused on taking someone out.
Do you got any kids? Got any kids, Mia?
I have 2 kids.
Okay. How old are your kids?
16 and 13.
Wow. And do they box? Are they in the sport?
Heck no. Heck no. I put them in Taekwondo. My son's a black belt, but I will never let them box.
Why would you never let them box?
Because I love them. Okay. That's my heart.
Okay, well, there's a philosophical issue at hand here. How is it that you box in something or you participate in something that you find so dangerous and possibly frightening for your kids and for other people?
I always tell my kids, like, I grew up in a different era. I grew up, you know, I'm 38. This was the 70s when I was pretty much, you know, into the sport of combat. And I just grew up differently. I didn't have a privileged life. I grew up in a lot of projects and, you know, I was first generation born in America. My kids grew up in, you know, a posh neighborhood in Southern California.
Ah.
They don't need to, you know, fight their way out of a ghetto. I mean, you know.
Okay, but nevertheless, combative arts are an excellent way to teach kids strategy, whether it's in the social sphere or the political sphere.
That's why I agree with martial arts.
Okay. We've had people coming from the Ultimate Fighting Contest. We had Randy Couture on the phone here. You're familiar with Ultimate Fighting, correct?
Yes.
And do you support that as an art form as well? Do you participate in that at all?
No.
Why not?
I think that it's extremely violent.
Well, of course,
and I'm
it's
not
violent.
A violent person.
All right. Perhaps let me share this with you. The great psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud positioned that there is no adventure unless your life is in danger to some degree. And I'm going to maintain whether you teach your kids boxing or whatever, one of them's going to learn rock climbing, the other is going to go surfing in waves way too big for his or her capacity, or they're going to do downhill skiing with Sean White and go on to the from the bunny slope to the black label slope well before they're prepared with all the wrong skis or whatever. There's no adventure unless your life hangs in the balance to some tiny degree. Do you agree with that?
I agree, but do you need to have continuous blows to the head every day of your life?
I feel like it working for CBS. Maybe I'd do good in the ring. What about yoga and so forth? You do a lot of that kind of maintenance, Mia?
I don't, but, you know, I definitely think it's great for anyone. But I'm more of, I'm big on lifting weights.
And is that something you're going to pursue for the rest of your life? You think you'll ever compete at that?
I don't think I'll ever compete in it, but I will always be a weightlifter.
What comes up for somebody like yourself in terms of what does the future hold? You're going to box for a while, and then what do you do from that point on? I'm interested to hear.
Well, I'm not going to box that much longer. I have a DVD, Million Dollar Workout, that's in stores right now. And then we're going to put out Level 2 for the summer. And then I have 2 books coming out. One is a fitness book, and one is my memoir.
Mia, you strike me as a super ultra alpha mom. I read about somebody in the Upper East Side here calling herself an alpha mom, and all she really did was hand out the responsibilities to a whole lot of other people and go, it takes a village to raise a child. Yeah, lady, especially yours. You strike me as the poster woman for the future. I'm so glad you called in here. I'm fascinated that you have a couple of kids, and you're pursuing this kind of an art form and this kind of a sport. 16 atta girls, and we love you. Call us again sometime, Mia. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
God bless and good luck to you.
Bye-bye.
Roth Radio. Boom to the kisser.
Mornings. David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
David Lee Roth. Это чистая сила. Вы можете ее почувствовать. Столько силы. Приходите и слушайте. Radio Roth 6 AM.
Time, fellas, eh? Oh!
David Lee Roth here. Worldwide, davidleeroth.com. Emails from Stoke, England, Asbury, New Jersey, Ashland, Ohio, Sydney, Australia. Jesus, she's still dancing. Fairmont, West Virginia, Romania, Austin, Texas, Belleville, Stonington, Connecticut, Valencia, California, Exeter, New Hampshire, and Tulsa. Yeah, man. If you want to get us on Real Radio, all you got to do is call up your program directors, your station managers, call the local DJ, talk to the janitor who's delivering the paper towels in the morning. You guys know how to do this. Email the local Real Radio and tell them you got to have Roth. It's just as it's like hot sauce, baby. It goes with the scrambled eggs in the morning. It goes with your barbecue and lunch. And it goes with your shot at happy hour. And for those of you who speak Spanish as a first language, I mean a shot of tequila. Yeah, man. We had a special guest, Phil Vassar. He was the country star who does the Nashville version, the country version of American Idol. And he was just recently on. And I was bringing up to him, how often does the William Hung kind of a character play into this? Animal, is William Hung one of your favorite American Idol contestants, or do you just listen to the quality singers? Which
ones? No, man, I like William Hung, man. I love the train wreck, man. That's my favorite part of all the shows, man.
Well, that's what I said to the fella Phil. I said, when we go to NASCAR, are we looking for the winner or the big crash? And I maintain that it's probably a little bit more for the big crash. We all love talent, but most of us crash and burn on the way to talent realized. Agreed? Boy, that's a politically correct way of saying it. Get it, Brian. Brian, help him. Anyways, exclusive secret terms of the American Idol contracts. According to gossip website, American Idol producers have applied the brakes to contestants who think they can become the next William Hung. This is privy to the exclusivity clause that season 5 contestants have signed. And it talks about they're trying to get rid of the characters. You know, that people are coming on intentionally to screw up. I think that's the most exciting, most interesting part of the show. Sasha, what do you think? Do you watch American Idol routinely? What do you think?
I do, yeah, and I hated William Hung. I hated him.
Okay, but you're planning on a career in professional country music as a singing porn star, are you not?
I am.
Okay, and are you not judging William against your talents now, darling?
I'm a little biased, I am.
Okay, you're a little biased, and you're a little tramp, too. And that's why you're going to be successful at this. So tell me, as a biased future country western porn star dock worker, because I'm going to need you to help close the ports, baby. I hate to heap this on you in front of all these people, but I'm just going to, because I love you.
I'll be here.
Okay. If you had to choose between Kelly Clarkson and William Hung, watching them on TV doing whatever it is they do best, which one would you choose? Don't think, just answer. Go.
Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, knock it off. Come on. Okay, I'm going to accept that as a genuine answer, but now I'm going to put you right on the spot. Turn the music off. Sing your favorite Kelly Clarkson song. Exactly. Music plays. Now, wait a second. I'm not quite through. I want you to sing your favorite William Hung song. Turn the music off. Go ahead.
I don't have a favorite.
Animal, help her out. Sing the William.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. No. Go ahead. Pick it up.
She doesn't know it. You sing it. Sing it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Animal.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She bangs.
She bangs. She bangs. She bangs. She bada.
You see
she
how
bada, she bang, bang.
You see how memorable that is? Pay attention. I'm showing you something about porn star showbiz. Here we go. Suddenly, a thought.
I feel like if they take the William Hung attitude out of the show, it would definitely be canceled, because that's what everybody want to see. Because you got so many shows where everybody trying to do their perfect work, and you know we done been seeing that for centuries. We need the train wreck, because that's why I watch it, for the train wreck. So if they, you know, stop that, I would not be watching it. I promise you that.
So what you're saying, Animal, is you need a whole lot of ashes for a phoenix to rise up for.
There you go.
That's it? Don't ask me to spell phoenix. Okay. But I have been there, allegedly. I agree with you, and that's an interesting thought, that if they completely amputate all of those colorful characters, we'll call them, all the nutcases, how interesting does it become to actually watch the show?
I know.
You lose the contrast,
yeah,
right?
Because it's like the first of its kind. It's something new. Take a chance on it. It's really cool.
You know what? I'm going to go with what you say. 866-313-3733. Dial in with me. What's better, the screw-ups or the winner contestants? Because the only real voice that I can, and I see the consternation on your face there, Sash, the only artist that I can really name out of the entire thing that I can sing even the song is William Hung. Okay? Again, that's a clown act, but it's a memorable one. Half the battle, what the fellow country star Phil Vassar was saying, is that you got to be unique. You got to stand out in some way. Sasha, how long do you think Kelly Clarkson's career is going to continue on for?
Probably a couple more years. I think she'll be around a couple
probably.
More years.
That's what I think.
Probably.
Is that a legal term?
Probably.
Next time Tom Gisano says, are you going to cooperate? I'm going to go, probably. Anyways, give me a buzz on this. 866-313-3733. What's better, the train wrecks or the people who are actually winning? And now the train wrecks happen amongst the judges. You've got Paula Abdul going through therapy, or it's equal to therapy with Dr. Phil, and she's finding a date, or there were 10 episodes, or what? Sash, what was this? Explain to us what that was.
She went to Dr. Phil for help. He watched her going on dates, like he watched her from a control room, and then gave her advice after she went on the dates about how she did.
Oh, so it's like booty punked.
Sort of.
No, she offers up the booty, and then finally she goes, you're on camera, you've been punked, right? I've had that happen in my private life, and I'm still a little bitter, but there were no cameras involved. I have to raise that question. Is she now a character like William Hung? Okay, because she was screwing around with one of the contestants, which I thought was brilliant television. Like when Mike Tyson bit the guy's ear off. Ooh, lousy, lousy boxing. Amazing television. All right, here we go. Bob. For all you dyslexics, his name is Bob. Bob, you're on Roth Radio. You're talking to D-Row. What's cooking?
Hey, D-Row, man. Huge, huge fan. Anyway, by the way, I just wanted to mention, man, the word on the street, dude, is that the honeymoon period is over with your station, and everyone loves it, man. All the people that didn't pay the money to switch over to your predecessor, your show's got legs now, man, and everyone's listening to it.
Oh, that's
a... You probably didn't already know, but...
Wait a minute. That's news to me, because what happened is when we jumped out on the radio, you know, those are huge shoes to fill. Only a retard would even attempt to fill Howard Stern's gig. We're trying something completely unique. It's our background. What we're doing, as you can tell, is just some sort of Roth family barbecue way too late in the evening. It's more like after hours, and it's extreme. And you know what? It's not for the connoisseur. It's for virtually everybody. And I imagine that there's a lot of people up in arms, but this is refreshing to hear that a lot of people are signing in. I think we're creating a whole new audience. I think Stern's got his, and we have Sasha.
Dave, I mean, this is a little clip of the usual conversations. Hey, you listen to that David Lee Roth radio show? Yeah, I've been listening to it every morning, actually, and it's pretty damn good. It's like, you know, you're at cruising altitude, man, and everyone's loving the show that I talk to.
Thank you so much.
The real topic why I'm calling is I just wanted to ask, when you start riffing on the music industry, man, I love it, man, because it's hard for a guy like me who's just a regular Joe Blow buying albums to get a glimpse into the record industry from a rock star, let's face it, right? So I was just wondering how much responsibility falls on the shoulders of the record executive bozos who are signing these bands that with the trite lyrics and predictable hooks in their songs, and they seem to follow a certain formula, like when something... when a certain sound or a flavor of music becomes popular, then right from the mill comes spitting out like a half dozen bands with the same crap.
Okay, what happens frequently, more often than not, is bands don't spend any time anymore perfecting their writing ability. Would you ever think you could write the great American novel the first time you pick up the pencil and sit down to a piece of paper? Right off the bat, you've made a mistake. You need a word processor, okay? And you have to go through this learning cycle that takes virtually years. The Beatles were together for how many years? Half a decade, working seven sets a night in the red light districts throughout the the European continent, okay? Van Halen took close to four solid years, working five and six nights a week, doing five 45-minute sets a night. And that's how you perfect your routine. Young people today don't do that because there's no clubs and bars to play cover tunes. Plenty of places to play original, but there's no places where you learn how to play your instrument. People start off with just maybe three, four letters out of the alphabet. How many words are you going to spell if you only know five or six letters out of the whole alphabet? They show up with some talent in their vocal ability, perhaps, or some guitar playing, or they have a little bit of a signature sound, and the producers, the manager, the agent, the record company reps, the publicist, and everybody in between is going to descend on them and go, you have one chance, and if you screw this up, it's like a movie. In the first 10 days of your release, everything you've worked for is either going to be shot straight to the moon or you're going to the poorhouse. Now, do you want to do what I suggest? Because I'm driving a Mercedes, kid, and you're driving a lowered bomb Toyota that you've got off of your cousin Rodriguez, okay? And you're going to, a lot of people will look at that and go, wow, maybe I should do what they say just to get my foot in the door.
Gotcha.
Okay, and more often than not, the Kelly Clarksons or a lot of the hip-hop gang, somebody says, look, I want you to record with the Neptunes production. They did great with Beyonce. I want you to jam with Jay-Z. I want you to jam with The Game. I want you to jam with 50 Cent. And I want you to do this kind of a track and everything. And you may be thinking, I don't sound anything like that. But if I screw this up, if I freak this up, my career is over. And I'm going to go back to putting pornos in little cardboard boxes in San Fernando Valleys at 9 hours a day, including Saturdays, to take care of my wife and my two illegitimate kids. All right? So you're going to probably do that unless you are made of stern stuff. And stern stuff only comes from 1,000 hours of working in the clubs and the bars and taking the abuse until you finally have the conviction that you know what you're doing. Strikes me the only one who really, really has that conviction on that show. Hey, he bangs. Good Bill Hung, baby. Thanks for calling.
Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so. Club Dave へようこそ。ここでは私たちが雨を降らせます。
Special guest on the phone, an unexpected phone call. We got Sean White. He's the Olympic snowboarder, our gold medalist. I guess he's a member of the Roth Gang now, the Wrecking Crew. He was here yesterday morning. He's on his way to somebody else's interview. I think he's going to Martha Stewart. And he said, no, I want to talk to Roth. I want to talk to B. Young. I want to be with Sasha. He wants to hang with Animal. Sean, are you there?
What up, Roth, man?
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm running around. Yeah, I'm on my way to Martha.
And you're going to do the Martha Stewart thing. Brian tells me that you're the best guitar player that he's ever worked with. He taught you a lesson last night. Is that what happened?
Yeah, man. Brian was on it. He was shredding. But yeah, he hooked me up with some good tips, man.
He gave you major, major props. I told the world, man, an artist as good as what you do, it can easily extend into other art forms. What are you going to be talking about with Martha Stewart, Sean?
I don't know. I think we're gonna chat about, you know, cooking and just a bunch of stuff I don't do.
And about,
I don't know, like I'm like moving out on my own, but I'm kind of like sweating it. So she's gonna help me like get some like furniture design going.
Well, thank God you called us first, okay? Because I gotta help you to it. And I was just telling Sasha here. You haven't seen our intern Sasha yet. She's 21 years old. Sean, how old are you actually?
I'm 19.
Okay. I'll tell you the absolute truth is that you don't need money, food, sleep, or shelter until you're 47 years old, Sean.
Yeah.
No, you're an artist.
Out, huh?
You don't live anywhere. That's the fun part, okay? You live in hotels now. Share that with Martha. Ask her what her favorite hotel is. and point towards the penthouse, okay? And if she and if she says anything about furniture, I got to tell you about my favorite phone call about that. You know who David Bowie is, the great rock star, right?
Yeah.
And when the Beavis and Butthead movie came out, I was working with
a classic.
I was working with a producer. producer who was also working with David Bowie. He was involved with the Beavis and Butthead movie. I'm giving you a time frame here. And David Bowie got on the phone. I said, Dave, how are you? We knew each other from passing, you know, at the airports and stuff. And he said, it's not a good day, Dave. And I said, well, Mr. Bowie, why is that? He said, I just bought some furniture. He had never owned furniture before, okay? Pay attention to what I'm saying here. Live like Bedouin, my friend. Carry your back on your pack. To me, this is but a desert. To you, a wasteland of nothing. For us, a home. To you, a camel. For me, a passport for adventure. Anyways, animal... Well, yes. You know, before we weigh in on this, Sean, we're talking about the American Idol scenario. As a professional artist, which is what I consider what you do, I'm going to talk to you artist to artist. You're a contestant in physical sport, but beyond competing, yeah. What you do is a great art form. I'm talking to Sean White, Olympic gold medalist. He's a snowboarder here. What do you think of American Idol? Do you like the screw-ups like William Hung, or do you like the winners like Kelly Clarkson? Go ahead.
I don't know, man. You know, it was heavy. We're at the Olympics, and, like, after my medal ceremony, Kelly came on, and she was kind of tearing it up. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, like, the craziest fan, but, like, she was kind of getting some. It was a little heavy. But I don't know. I kind of just watch for these shady people that show up and, like, try to you know, make their fame on that show.
Yeah, well, you know, when you go to a NASCAR race, and I brought this up to the country star, Phil Vassar, who does the Nashville country version of American Idol. I says, when you go to NASCAR, are you looking for the crash, or are you looking for the winner? Tell me this. You've watched sports shows your whole young life, right? Do you remember the thrill of victory or the agony of defeat?
Oh, man. I remember the, you know.
You remember the guy?
Everybody knows when you win, but, I mean, the defeat is that, like, when you lose or, like, you know. I mean, that's the stuff that they love to see. That's what, you know what I mean? They love that with snowboarding. Like, if you crash, they will replay that all day long.
So leave the biggest hole, huh? Auger in and leave the biggest divot. That's the greatest.
Yeah, that's why I try to never fall. It's this new thing I'm working on.
Excellent. When are we going to see you again on the show, Sean?
Hopefully soon. I'm going to come back and jam with Brian, man.
Next time he comes, hey Sean, when you come back, I'll let you jam on the loop. He can track blast.
Oh, can he track blast as well?
He'll be able to do it, man. He's happening.
Okay, well,
I'll warm you up.
Okay, well, we're going to extend the offer here. You talk to that good-looking publicist of yours. You're fun to talk to.
I'll tell you, said hey.
Yeah, you're fun.
You guys will get a kick out of this. We were running around last night at Bungalow 8 with Lindsay Lohan.
Ah, outstanding.
I heard you're a fan. That's a low hand.
You larcenous slut. I'm jealous of you. Clearance to land on Lohan. Sean White preparing to board. Sean, have yourself a great day. Animal's going to keep your chair warm until you come back and join us. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Have yourself a great one, Sean. Sean White, Olympic gold medalist. I think he agrees with us that it's the car crashes, it's the Bill Hung that you're going to tune into. But I also know why Sean called in. It's because of our lesbian porn star, Janine Lundemiller. Why do we go through all of this agony in the gym? Why do we train so hard? Why do we perfect these athletic skills? It's like a Napoleon Dynamite. You got to have skills. That's what he says, right? Remember, that's a great part in the movie. You got to have skills. We're going to be talking to Janine Lundemiller about her skills. Is this a favorite of yours, Sasha? Are you familiar with Janine?
Go ahead. I love Janine. She's gorgeous.
She's amazingly gorgeous. I have no idea how old she is, and I'm not going to ask, but she's timeless, right? That's why Sean White, Olympic gold medalist, whatever he's doing out there on the snow, is calling in. Somewhere between Lindsay Lohan's skinny little white girl tush and Janine Lundemiller's latest film, Two Girls in a Toaster Oven. What do you think? What do you think, Animal?
Yeah, I agree, man, because it's really hot, man. She's very hot.
Now, what is a Martha Stewart going to talk to this fella about that he's going to care about at all? She's going to help him design his, what, a bachelor pad? But he's not going to live anywhere. You don't go live somewhere when you're as good as he is, right?
I agree with you. You got to live in the backpack for at least 3 or 4 years before you even think about buying furniture, man.
Oh, like Frank Sinatra used to say, a toothbrush and a comb and a driver's license. That's all I need, baby. Yeah. All right. do we still have phone calls on the American Idol? Because this is a constant thing. Just go ahead and dial them. How about Simone? She actually tried out for American Idol.
Go.
And I'm wondering if she's a car crash or a winner, a front runner. Simone, you're on Roth Radio. You're talking to D-Row. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Actually, I'm a singer. I do theater. I've been auditioning for a very long time, and I drove.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Stop right there, Simone. You just made a what we call a Freudian slip. You said you've been auditioning for a very long time. Have you ever won anything?
No, I haven't won anything. I mean, I've done a couple like musicals and stuff like that. Like, I'm trying to do a little bit of rock music, but.
Okay,
but cover band out there is not really
okay. But Simone, is that like when my dad, back when he was in college, he used to say, we used to tell our friends, in fact, my dad conducts the Boston Pops Orchestra, and we always said it with a straight face. And then we'd bring our friends over for dinner. At the end of every dinner, dad would put the Boston Pops on the record player, close his eyes, and move his hands back. So you've been auditioning for a long time. We don't know that you've had a lot of gigs. What was your experience, though, when you went to the American Idol and tried out for that?
I went, friends of mine and I went to Boston first, and we auditioned. And, I mean, I made it's the way they do it is they do it, like, because there's so many people, they narrow it down, so you go through different, like, levels of auditioning.
Yeah, but in Boston, why would you pick Boston? Boston is the toughest room to play for any concert, for any talk show, for hanging out in the bar. Nobody is more belligerently enthusiastic and more brain-thinking, ready to mix it up than Boston. I would think you'd go somewhere like Dahlonega, Georgia, down where Animal is from or something. I would imagine just waiting in line in Boston is a fist fight. But you made it to the audition, and what song did you sing, Simone?
Well, I sang a couple songs. I think I sang...
Did you sing them both like at the same time?
I sang Bonnie Raitt, and then they told me... the producers told me I wasn't cut out to sing rock music, so I didn't get through the rest of it, but...
why aren't you cut out to sing rock music?
Crazy people dressed up like...
Why aren't you, slow down, kid, don't, I won't interrupt you, I don't, go back. Why are you not cut out to sing rock music? Talk to me why they explained that to you. What was missing?
Well, I don't know. Well, the first time, when I was in Boston and made it through, they told me I had too much experience and I was, I don't know, I seemed too professional, which I thought was crazy.
Music?
And the second time was when they told me I couldn't sing rock music. Yeah, but I was trying too hard.
Yeah, but they've been telling me that in the press for the last 34 summers, honey, and I pay no attention at all. I turn off my good ear, and we head for the stage. You can't let this stuff hold you up. Where can the world come and see you perform, even as we speak?
Excuse me?
Where can the world come and see Simone do what she does best? As we Simone, stop.
Right now, I'm taking time off for school to just.
Okay, Simone, I'm going to give you an opportunity here right now, just so you can get a visual of what I'm talking about. Hold on, Simone. We have roughly 200 football stadiums worth of people. If you add up the number of folks around the world, and particularly in the States, who is listening, roughly 200 football stadiums worth. Figure 50,000 people in each stadium. I'm going to turn off the music here, and I'm going to give you an opportunity for the next 20 seconds to sing your little heart out. And you may win something. You may catch something. People email us all the time. Who was that? Where do I get the number? They got your number in the back. Turn off the music, Hutch. Go ahead, Simone. You're on. Sing.
I'll close my eyes, then I won't see the love you don't feel when you're holding me.
Okay, Simone, you just reminded me. Simone, you just reminded me that I have an overdue dentist appointment. Thanks for calling in, baby.